From Ruin to Restoration, that is the story of the book of Ruth, and we're in chapter number 3. Perhaps the turning point of the story for Ruth and Naomi. You see, Naomi and Elimelech left Israel, Bethlehem specifically, to go to Moab to save their family. She then lost her husband and 2 sons. She gained 2 daughters-in-law. Orpah stayed behind in Moab, but Ruth went with her. They went back to Bethlehem to earn their keep. And as Ruth is working in the fields, Naomi has disclosed a great truth that the owner of this field is Boaz. It brings us to the topic of redemption, or to the person who is known as the Redeemer, Goel in the Hebrew. We'll be in chapter 3, but we got to start in verse 19 of chapter 2. Just read these 2 verses to put us back in the context of what the subject matter is. Ruth chapter 2, verses 19 and 20. And her mother-in-law said to her, Ruth, "Where did you glean today? And where have you worked? Blessed be the man who took notice of you." So she told her mother-in-law with whom she had worked and said, "The man's name with whom I work today is Boaz." And Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, "May he be blessed by the Lord, whose kindness has not forsaken the living or the dead." Naomi also said to her, "The man is a close relative of ours, one of our redeemers." We're about to see the act of redemption in play in the life of Ruth and also Naomi. Redemption means to purchase or to buy back. We don't use the word redeem a lot. We talk about coupons. We redeem this coupon to get a discount or a free item. But if you redeem something or someone, you pay the price to receive that property or to receive that person. Biblically speaking, redemption almost always refers to the ransom price. What is the price of that person? But also, not just monetary value. Redemption meets the demands of the law. So it's not just a great price, it's also the demands of the law in regards to redemption. It takes us to chapter 3. As we look at redemption, we go to chapter 3 and starting at verse 1. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, "My daughter, should I not seek rest for you? That it may be well with you. Is not Boaz our relative with whose young women you were? See, he is winnowing barley tonight at the threshing floor. Wash, therefore, and anoint yourself and put on your cloak and go down to the threshing floor. But do not make yourself known to the man until he has finished eating and drinking. But when he lies down, observe the place where he lies. Then go and uncover his feet and lie down. And he will tell you what to do." And she replied, "All that you say, I will do." In chapter 3, you will see redemption. And I want to show you the 4 parts to redemption. And there's some questions we're going to answer along the way. What do others, outsiders, say about Ruth? What does the law say about the situation? And ultimately, what does the Lord say? The first part of redemption is opportunity. The opportunity for redemption. It's well known that Boaz is a redeemer. For weeks, months, he has glanced at Ruth, he has talked to her, and he has spent time with her. And Naomi, being the wise woman who knows much, says, okay, let's think about your life. And Ruth says, isn't that my decision? And Naomi says, no, that's our decision. I say that jokingly, but Naomi says, Ruth, I love you, but I want God's best for you. You see, the opportunity is based upon need. It's also based upon the time or the transition of change. She says, Ruth, I want what's best for you. So here is the plan. Go to Boaz. He's working late tonight, working on the harvest. Here's what you need to do. Get cleaned up. Get dressed up. And go to the threshing floor, the place where they separate the chaff from the kernel or the head of the grain. In other words, make yourself a presentable bride. That's exactly what this is. If you don't want to say threshing floor, you can say going to the chapel to get married. That's exactly what this is. The aroma and the appearance of a woman. That's what we're focused on. Now, you read a lot of scholars, you read a lot of commentaries. They almost describe this section as the scheme of Ruth or the plot of Naomi. I disagree 100%. This is about Ruth's well-being. Naomi says it clearly. I want God's best for you. I disagree with many commentators, and I can do that. Make yourself a presentable bride, because Ruth, when Boaz sees you, he's going to love you. He probably already loves you, but he's just going to admit it then. The aroma and the appearance of a woman. When I was at Fort Benning, Georgia, Army basic combat training, all men. We hated each other. We loved each other. We fought each other. We were not around women. So we just fought. That's what you do. We were waiting in line to get food one evening. Lines of us on either side of the hallway. And in between us walked a woman who worked in the dining facility. And she had this pleasant smell about her. I don't know if it was lotion. I don't know if it was perfume. I don't know what it was. But we could all smell it. Private Gurley, who went to Fort Campbell, Kentucky, right after that training, he turned around, which is not right, which you're not supposed to talk. He said, "Whoo, she smells like a lady." No, Naomi tells Ruth, get cleaned up, anoint yourself, smell like a bride, also look the part. I can remember what my wife was wearing on our first date. I can. That appearance was striking. You say, Pastor, where did you go on your first date? Brace yourself. We went to Taco Bell. We shared a quesadilla together. And it's always, you just feel terrible when your kids ask you, like, tell us some stories. Tell us about your first date. Like, oh, no, I can't talk about that. It's not out of we can't remember. It's like, I'm ashamed of where we went. I can still remember what she wore. Flip-flop skirt, denim jacket. Infatuated. With the appearance, didn't know it at the time, of my future bride. Naomi tells Ruth, get dressed up, get cleaned up, go get your man. That's exactly what it is. And this is the opportunity for redemption. Back in chapter 3, go down to verse number 6. So she went down to the threshing floor and did just as her mother-in-law had commanded her. And when Boaz had eaten and drunk and his heart was merry, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of grain. Then she came softly and uncovered his feet and lay down. And at midnight, the man was startled and turned over, and behold, a woman lay at his feet. And he said, "Who are you?" And she answered, "I am Ruth, your servant. Spread your wings over your servant, for you are a redeemer." The second part of redemption is not just opportunity. We deal with the person, the redeemer. Ruth goes to the threshing floor, aka the chapel, and after a long day of work, Boaz had his evening meal, and he slept at the heap of grain to guard it. And Ruth slips in under the cover of darkness, walks through Bethlehem proper to the place that is the threshing floor. She uncovers his feet, and she lays down at that spot. Boaz wakes up and is startled. Now, outsiders, the world, says this is scandalous. What a salacious woman, that Moabitess. I mean, we all know the history of Moab, Genesis 19, when incest was committed to form the nation that is now Moab, or was then Moab. The world says this is a seductive woman seeking to take advantage of a vulnerable man. But if you look at what God's word says, it doesn't say that. All we know of Ruth is she's a virtuous woman. She's not attempting to take advantage of this man. She doesn't want a fling. She wants a ring. She doesn't want a little momentary passion. She wants marriage. This is the issue in Deuteronomy chapter 25. As often we would refer to this as Levirate marriage. This is what it says. If brothers dwell together and one of them dies and has no son, the wife of the dead man shall not be married outside the family to a stranger. Her husband's brother shall go into her and take her as his wife, perform the duty of a husband's brother to her. And the first son whom she bears shall succeed to the name of his dead brother, that his name may not be blotted out in Israel. She wants marriage and the continuation of the line of Elimelech to Mahlon would continue if she gets married and has a child. So Levirate marriage is according to the law that the closest of kin would marry the widow to continue that name in Hebrew history. A lot of people before today have come to me and said, "I can't wait to hear what you say about her taking the blanket from Boaz, uncovering the feet." Now, that's a cultural issue. That is not normal today. Now, in 1000 BC, that was normal. That was a sign of servanthood, saying, "I'll submit to your leadership." But let's be clear. When Ruth is at the threshing floor, she's not saying, "Boaz, let's follow the law." She's saying, "Boaz, we're in love." Let's be very clear in that. A lot of commentators, a lot of scholars don't touch chapter 3. So let me give you my personal opinion. This is not backed by scripture whatsoever. But I am 100% in my own opinion. And I will tell you exactly what I think. She uncovered his feet. At some point, he woke up and was startled. Now, I'm a light sleeper. If I hear a noise, I wake up. It's always been that way. A few months into marriage, my wife and I, we were at a mission trip. We were staying in a hotel room, and I was sleeping on my side, and I felt two fists in my back quickly. And it turns out my wife had a dream about our cat, whom we hated. And in this dream, the cat was lunging at her. And so in her dream, she punched the cat. And in reality, she punched me in the back. My wife, whom I love, sometimes sleeps with an extra pillow under her arm or leg. And when she gets tired of that pillow, she just pushes it onto me. I wake up. I can feel it on me. I get hot. Like, what is? Did the air conditioner break? What is going on? And I realize, oh, it's her. So I just push it back onto her. At night, I'm a light sleeper, and I can feel my blanket moving off of me to her side. I always wake up and wake up mad. And then I see who it is. And every time I say, I love her. When Ruth pulls back the blanket off of Boaz's feet, in my opinion, she is saying, would you like for this to happen the rest of your life? And Boaz says, you bet I do. This is not about law, this is about love. This picture of redemption into the person. Ruth is saying to Boaz in this moment, I love you and I'm going to submit to your leadership if you would just put your wings over me to protect me. And that's speaking of the protective features of the cloak, not necessarily the wings of a bird. The person, the redeemer, who is Boaz. Back in chapter 3, verse 10 and following, and he said, may you be blessed by the Lord, my daughter. You have made this last kindness greater than the first, in that you have not gone after young men, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do for you all that you ask. For my fellow townsmen know that you are a worthy woman. And now, it is true that I am a redeemer, yet there is a redeemer nearer than I. Remain tonight and in the morning. If he will redeem you, good, let him do it. But if he's not willing to redeem you, then as the Lord lives, I will redeem you. Lie down until morning. We see the third part of redemption as the promise. Boaz responds to the humility of Ruth. He praised the Lord, number one, then he praised her because she chose him. She could have went after other men, younger men. She didn't chase after money. He said, you are a worthy woman, and everybody knows this. I don't care what outsiders say. Those who know you know that you love the Lord. You're full of virtue and the imperishable beauty, like 1 Peter says. He says, yes, it's true. I am a redeemer. I can restore property. I can redeem the ransom price of people. I can purchase based upon the law. But there is a redeemer nearer than I. What is he saying about that? He's saying within the family of Elimelech, there is someone closer in relation to Elimelech than Boaz is. So the nearest of kin to Elimelech has the right to redeem before anyone else. We see this redemption acted out in Leviticus 25 with the issue of property. Later on in that chapter, it's also the nearest of kin who has the right to redeem someone out of slavery. It's always the nearest of kin. He tells Ruth, if that other redeemer doesn't step it up, I promise you, Lord is my witness, I'll redeem you. And he's not saying we're going to follow the law. He says, baby, we're about to get married. That's exactly what it is. But then within that, he says, I'm going to keep the law. And I'm going to go above and beyond. That is the role of grace in the redemptive story. The Redeemer exceeds the limits of the law because of love. Back in chapter 3, verses 14 and following, so she laid his feet until the morning, but arose before one could recognize another. And he said, let it not be known that the woman came to the threshing floor. And he said, bring the garment you're wearing and hold it out. So she held it out, and he measured out 6 measures of barley and put it on her. Then she went into the city, and when she came to her mother-in-law, she said, how did you fare, my daughter? And then she told her all that the man had done for her, saying, these 6 measures of barley he gave to me, for he said to me, you must not go back empty-handed to your mother-in-law. She replied, wait, my daughter, until you learn how the matter turns out, for the man will not rest, but will settle the matter today. Here's the fourth part of redemption, the application, if you will, belief, faith, trust. Ruth is about to leave the threshing floor. Boaz stops her and blesses her with more food. And she returned to Naomi with this abundance and receives insight about the Redeemer. Naomi says, wait. We've done as much as we can, girlfriend. We've done what we can. Now it's time to wait. That's what belief entails, waiting. I believe so much, I will wait on my Redeemer. And she says, it's not just waiting, it's also trusting. If you really believe Boaz will redeem you, you've got to wait and you've got to trust. And Boaz said he's going to make sure you're redeemed, whether it's someone else or him. And Naomi says, this man's not going to rest. I've seen it before. He's going after you. Now, the law deals with property. Sometimes the namesake or the inheritance. Sometimes the law deals about slavery. In chapter 3 of Ruth, there is nothing about property. Nothing. What is happening is the actions of the Redeemer are going above the law. It's all about the person, Ruth, needing redemption. And the Redeemer says, I'm going to go above and beyond. I'm going to give you grace. In chapter 3, we become enamored with the facts and the story, the uncovering of the feet. You say, it's all about Ruth and Boaz. That is true. But if you look deeper, chapter 3 is all about you and God. Let me walk you back through it. It's the opportunity that all we like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. We've all sinned and fallen short. We are based with the need for opportunity, the need for change. We all face that opportunity. We all need a Redeemer. Scripture says it's Christ when he paid our debt on the cross. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and also verse 7 says, you were bought with a price. You were ransomed from the clutches of sin by the power of the cross. That is the person. And here's the promise. John chapter 1 verse 12, as many as received him, to them gave he the right to be called the sons and daughters of God. That's a promise. If you hear that promise, you think that's as good as it gets. Now, that's the promise, but the fourth part of redemption is belief. You got to believe. But if you believe in your heart and confess that truth with your mouth, you'll be redeemed, you'll be saved. to be converted. It's all about redemption. Chapter 3 is all about love, not just law. It's about a faith above the law and the Redeemer. Now, belief involves trusting and waiting. Job dealt with that. In Job 19, he said, "My life is wasting away, but I know that my Redeemer lives. And even when my flesh is gone, I shall see him." If you need to make a decision today about your soul, why don't you place that into the hands of a loving God? If you've never trusted in Christ, you've never surrendered yourself to him, do that today. It's as simple as believing. Maybe you've made that great decision of faith. There's other decisions after that. Telling others about your faith through baptism. Living out your faith with the local church. But maybe you just need to be reminded about the love of God. In Christianity and in church, we get busy about do's and don'ts. Rules, regulations, you've got to do this, don't do that. Can I remind you about grace that supersedes rules and regulations? Maybe in just a moment you need to respond to God and say, "God, thank you for grace. Thank you for redemption. Thank you for the picture of love in chapter 3. It's really about me and you." Maybe there's something heavy on your heart. Maybe there's a decision you need to make. If that's so, make that decision in just a moment. Before we get to the invitation, we're going to celebrate the Lord's death and resurrection together. We call that communion. There's two elements to that. The wafer signifying the body of Christ broken for us. The juice signifying the blood of Christ shed for us. It's meant to bring us together as the church. It's a means to worship, to celebrate. Scripture gives us warnings about unconfessed sin, about coming to the table in an unworthy fashion. So if you have any sin in your life, you need to confess it now, repent of it, walk away from it, and say, "God, renew my relationship right now." Maybe you've been discouraged. Maybe you've made mistakes. But now, at the table, it's your turning point to change. Father, we thank you for the picture of grace above law. Thank you for the story of redemption in the Old Testament book of Ruth. But thank you for letting us see it played out through all the pages of Scripture into the person of Christ upon the cross who has redeemed us from the domain of sin and death. Father, bless those who need to make decisions, whatever it may be. But Father, for the time here and now, would we take inventory of our souls and do business with you before we come to your table? And Father, may we confess anything that is hindering our walk with you. And Lord, for those who are weary and heavy laden, Father, would you give them spiritual strength today as we celebrate this? Father, we pray that you would move in our midst. We thank you for the person of Jesus Christ, our Redeemer. We ask all of these things in his name, amen.